for your weekly dose of Wayne's Comics.
Welcome to episode 595 of the Wayne's Comics Podcast. Thanks so much for listening. This week is the return of one of the favorites here at the podcast, and that's Caleb Palmquist, who's talking about crowdfunding Unicorn Vampire Hunter Volume 1. Caleb has a Kickstarter underway for this book, and it's described this way. The perfect vampire hunter is a unicorn, and he's on a mission to find answers about his past. Caleb updates us on how his various projects are moving forward, who the various characters in this book are, and what we can expect from him in the months ahead. As soon as you get done listening to this fun interview, be sure to back this exceptional project. I'm sure you're going to enjoy what Caleb has to say. There's a lot to get to in this episode, so let's get on with the show. It's always a pleasure to talk with Caleb Palmquist, the creator of such wonderful things as Vampire Detective in Space, which is still one of my very favorites. I really love that one. And the one that's going on right now is Unicorn Vampire Hunter Volume 1, the collection of the first five issues. How's it going, Caleb?
It's going great. Thanks for having me on, Wayne.
It's good to talk with you, and I have to say, we're recording this a little early in the campaign, so it's going to post probably after some developments have gone through. But as we're recording it, you are looking right at your goal of $12,000. It's right on the coming at you. And so I imagine by the time this posts, you'll be past that and into stretch goals and doing all kinds of wonderful things, which is good things. In the first day, you got, almost $9,000 out of your 12?
That's right. Yep. It's this has definitely been one of the most successful first days that I've had. It's been really great to see the support of people coming out, both new people who've never read it before and longtime fans. So it's been great to see.
Now, the most recent one you did had issues 4 and 5 in it, right?
Yeah. So I did a campaign last year for issues 4 and 5 of Unicorn Vampire Hunter, which are the final two issues of the first story arc. I've gotten those out to people. People have had a chance to read them. And so now we're back with a collected edition.
Mm-hmm. I don't want to spoil 5 because all kinds of conclusions and things happen in that one. But we'll talk about 4. It was one I really want to talk about because that is the word I would use to describe that is actually somewhat tragic.
Ugh. Oh, yeah. Issue 4 is one of my favorites, for sure. And it was, it really gets to the heart of one of the main character's journey, I think. And, it's definitely darker than the other issues. I think tragic is a great word for it.
Mm-hmm. Boy, when I read that, I still think about it because wow, it's really, why don't you tell people the basic premise of the book before we dive in and spoil too much? Tell people what this book is about.
Sure. Unicorn Vampire Hunter is about a unicorn who hunts vampires with his horn. But it is also a story about found family kind of forgiveness. Basically, there's a young woman named Jezebel and her uncle Seamus, who's a wizard who guards the magical marsh from the evil things that are in the dark forest, including a lot of vampires and a witch. And then this unicorn comes along who turns out knows Seamus the wizard from way back. And then we learn sort of about their past and then we see them grow together as a family and fight vampires and confront their past. So yeah, I mean, it's basically a fairy tale. with a fun premise.
I have to say, I as many times I've seen unicorns and they're always happy, happy creatures and stuff like that, that to see them as a vampire hunter, it still strikes me as something different.
Yeah, well, yeah, my unicorn, I've often heard him people describe him as an emo unicorn because he has a dark past and he's sad about it.
Now, of course, the thing that what happens to him, he's actually a human and he gets turned into a unicorn. I think that happens in the first issue, right?
Yeah, that's something you find out in the first issue. And then we learn sort of how that happened. And then and there's a lot of complications from that in terms of what happens and sort of why he's a unicorn and who he was before that.
And why he's a vampire hunter.
Right, right, yes.
That's an important part of it because, like I said, you know, most unicorns I don't see ram people with their horns. They're sort of magical, happy creatures. And so to see this particular one take on vampires is really something else. It's how did you come up with that? We may have talked about this, but I don't remember. How did you decide to have him be a vampire hunter?
That's a really good question. I'm always thinking of different ideas, and I think that it really started with just I love unicorns. I really like unicorns, and I really like fairy tales, and I wanted to tell a story about a unicorn, and I also like vampires, and it just occurred to me one day that a unicorn's got a perfect stake right there on his head.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought, well, what can I do with this? Is there a story here? And, it started with a scene from issue one where this young girl is in the forest and she, and a vampire approaches her and, you know, is gonna attack her. And she gets saved by a unicorn. And of course, how would a unicorn attack a vampire other than staking it through the heart?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So it's an amazing... Now, one thing people always get on me, I don't say this soon enough. This project will only be funded if it reaches its goal by Friday, July 14 at 1 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time. So by the time this posts, I'm sure you're way into stretch goals and good things like that. So that's a good thing. That doesn't mean you should wait. You should, as soon as you get done listening to our interview, I would go to Kickstarter, look for Unicorn Vampire Hunter Volume 1, and you're going to get to see that. Now, why don't we talk a little bit about what the Kickstarter is doing? This is the collected edition, issues 1 through 5. And there, as I understand it, there are four versions of it.
Oh, yeah. So basically wanted to go big for this collected edition, but I also wanted to have a range of options depending on what people wanted and, you know, what their budgets were. So we have the softcover edition that's got a cover by Daryl Toe, who's the series artist. And then we have a variant cover, which was drawn by Carl Moline, who was a Buffy the Vampire Slayer artist, mm-hmm. Which I thought was really cool. I've had some conversations with Carl that were kind of mind blowing to me because, you know, as a much younger man, I read Frey, which is the sort of the Buffy the Vampire Slayer post-apocalyptic future comic that Carl did with Joss Whedon. And so to have conversations with him and have him do art for my book was like really crazy. The cover is really cool. So there's that one. And then we have two hardback editions. We have a standard hardback, which is going to have metallic printing on the logo, which is really cool. And then we have a collector's edition hardback, which is a cloth bound book with silver gilded page edges. So it's like a really fancy collector's edition, and then the cover is in silver engraved with the design on the cover, and it's got a ribbon bookmark. I think it's like a really fancy collector's piece. that I'm really excited about. And I was sort of emboldened to do that fancy collector's edition because last year when I did issues 4 and 5, I offered a collector's box, which is a magnetically sealing box that would hold issues 1 through 5 that was really fancy. And people were really into that. And I was like, well, you know, if Kickstarter is the place where that kind of thing can happen, you know, you can't have a book this fancy in a regular bookstore. It doesn't make financial sense. And so, but on Kickstarter, you totally can. And so I just went all out. I was like, what's the fanciest book I could imagine? And I'm going to make that version. And honestly, right as of our recording right now, it's the one of the most popular versions of the book.
Oh, cool.
And so I think that people responded well to that fancy edition.
I always love collected editions because when I'm in the mood for a longer story, and that happens sometimes, I really want to sit down and read the whole thing and get that perspective. So I think that's an excellent way. And by the way, if anybody wants to see what these covers and all look like, you can go to the Kickstarter, because right at the beginning down there, one of the first things you see are the 4 covers in a row. So you can make your choice there. And of course, you can see them again on the side where they have the various levels and good things like that. So that's good. So there's the digital version of the whole story. And then there's that's good. You can get the complete collectors. Of course, by the time this hits, the whole thing is probably gone. But it's really good stuff. I'm just intrigued. I got to ask this question because it pops into my head every time. Is this the end of the Unicorn Vampire Hunter story? I don't want to.
No, absolutely spoilers. Not. Absolutely
okay.
Not.
Okay.
In fact, Daryl Toe and I, the artist, we've been talking, and we have a specific plan. Everyone will be happy to know. I can sort of make the reveal here on this podcast that we are in the process of finalizing the scripts for 2 more volumes. And so, much like when you see like a trilogy of movies, the first movie is sort of a standalone because they're not, you know, you don't know if you're going to get the funding or if it's going to be popular enough for more sequels. But then the next 2 movies are kind of like a 2-parter, right? Because you know that you've got that interest. And that's what this is going to be like. We're writing the next 2 volumes as a unit, to tell a really cool story that will bring a lot of these storylines to a close. So I don't know if it will go on past that. But we have a very solid plan for 2 more volumes. So that's going to be over 300 more pages of Unicorn Vampire Hunter.
Wow. I'm going to ask spoiler questions all over the place, but I won't. I want people to read the book and be able to get the good story about it. There's one thing on the Kickstarter page I like. It says, who will love Unicorn Vampire Hunter? Fans of whimsical fantasy worlds, stories about the power of friendship, complex and compelling villains, heartfelt dramas and gut-wrenching tragedies. If you like shows like The Dragon Prince and Gravity Falls, or books like Neil Gaiman's Stardust, you'll love Unicorn Vampire Hunter. So, you see, I particularly like the space detective, which is so funny because the vampire is the hero in that book, and here the vampires are not necessarily the heroes. So I find that really kind of interesting. You said you're a big vampire fan. Is it fun to do vampires from different perspectives as far as like the good guys and the bad guys maybe?
Oh, for sure. And I'll say that in Vampire Detective in Space, you're talking about a story in which this character believes he's the last vampire in the galaxy. Like he escaped Earth, left all the other vampires behind. He thinks he's the only one left, and that's kind of changed him as time has gone on. And that's a very different perspective. Whereas in Unicorn Vampire Hunter, the main vampire character that we get is very much part of, you know, a group of vampires, and has a reason to be rather vindictive. I'll say that one thing I love is writing villains that are a little more than meets the eye. And so, so I would say that, the main villain, the main vampire, Enrique, is an antagonist in the book, but I also think that he is, more complex than that. And I think that, if you read, this whole volume, then you'll start to see where I might be going with the character in the long term. Because, one thing, this is like a little bit of a spoiler, but one thing I love more than anything else, and it's a little bit of a cliche, but I love a good redemption arc. So if you like Unicorn Vampire Hunter, and you're looking forward to reading more, I would say that that's a hint about where things are going.
Okay. I'm curious, how do you redeem a vampire, or is that something that we're going to have to read to find?
Well, I mean, you think about who was that person before they became a vampire, and what were their hopes and dreams, and what did they care about, and how does becoming a vampire, change that? I think that that's where, you know, there's potential for a redemption arc. Of course, you know, you have to think about, oh, well, what kind of awful things has a character done? And is it okay to excuse those things? Or, you know, do they have to pay a price for those things that they've done?
Okay, that sounds interesting. Are the future volumes also going to be called Unicorn Vampire Hunter? Like, sometimes people put subtitles in, like Unicorn Vampire Hunter 2 or Unicorn Vampire Hunter Redeeming a Vampire or something like that.
Well, this first volume, it's I haven't really necessarily shouted about it on the advertisements for this, but it's called Unicorn Vampire Hunter Volume 1, Jezebel and the Unicorn. And so the second volume will have a different title, and so will the third volume. There is a working title for volume one or for volume two, but I don't want to say it because it is a bit of a spoiler for what happens at the end of volume one. And so I'm trying to come up with a title that doesn't just spoil it off the shelf.
Okay. Let's deal with a couple of other things. I want to get back to issue 4 eventually. I want to talk more about that. But there are one of the things that Kickstarter is doing that I'm still figuring out are add-ons. And as I see on Kickstarter, you have two brand new unique rewards available as add-ons. Do you want to talk about those?
Sure. Yeah. So I actually had, there's an artist named David Brame, who's an incredibly talented artist, and he did a variant cover for every issue of Unicorn Vampire Hunter that I did on Kickstarter. And so I wanted to bring him back, but I didn't want to do too many variant covers for this. So instead, what we had him do was a pinup. And it's a print of a scene from Unicorn Vampire Hunter issue 2 that has to do with electricity and a fight between the unicorn and the vampires. And we're having it printed on metallic stock, which is an idea I got because I did a special edition of Unicorn Vampire Hunter number 1 earlier this year that I called the Silver Edition, that was printed on a silver metallic stock, and it looked so cool that I thought it would be really awesome to do this print of this really cool piece of art on metallic stock. So there's that we're offering, and then we're also offering another die cut sticker. So I've on many, many of my campaigns, I have offered these 3-inch die cut stickers that are their vinyl stickers from Sticker Mule that are just awesome. And I always like to have little clever little things on the stickers. And so this one says rainbows and unicorns and slaying vampires. And it has Edward the Unicorn winking at you on the sticker.
Okay. Because these things are like 180 degrees from each other. The metallic art print has the unicorns in there, blood running down his face and stuff. And then the other one, very happy, what I usually expect of a unicorn. Very happy kind of, and of course he's winking at us. You don't see the unicorn winking in the first one.
Oh, so yeah. These are,
you're doing things as far apart as you can, very different. So I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah, well, I would say that the actual comic itself is neither like totally happy-go-lucky or like metal. It's definitely it's a bit whimsical, but it's and it's definitely, you know, all ages friendly, but it's a fairy tale. And so I think it's been fun to have different artists kind of do different takes on it with different tones. With the stickers, we always like to go fun and silly if we can.
Because the last one, the sticker said, I came to chew gum and kill vampires, and I'm all out of gum.
Yep. That's been a very popular sticker. Yeah.
Now, this time you're not doing trading cards. Did that go over well, or you just it didn't work out this time?
So it actually it did go over well. People liked the trading cards, but I wanted to keep things a little simpler this time. I think I haven't actually announced my stretch goals, but we had some ideas for some trading cards. And on the last campaign, we actually had a stretch goal trading card that was by a different artist than normal. And so I think I might do that again, where I have some stretch goal trading cards, because we had some ideas for some. Because I think that the trading cards are interesting. Whenever I've told people that I might not do them, I always get people saying, oh, you got to do the trading cards. We like the trading cards. but on the other hand, I think that I'm always worried about clogging people up with too much stuff. Mm-hmm. And so I think this time I might kind of keep it to stretch goals. And that way it's sort of something free that people get instead of something they have to pay extra for. So we'll see, but yeah, you're right. I didn't do the trading cards this time, and just kind of trying something different with this print rather than trading cards, but we'll see. I mean, you know, people do like the trading cards, so I might have to bring them back.
Okay. I got one other question about something you did in the past, the role-playing adventure game, The Wolf.
Oh yeah.
How did that do? Did that do well or
oh yeah. Oh yeah. People loved The Wolf. Now I will say that it was very popular. It seemed to go over well with people. I haven't necessarily heard a lot of reports of people having played it as a D&D game, but definitely I got a lot of initial feedback right out the gate that people liked it a lot, and that was a whole independent story. I will say that, because we had so much success with that in terms of the enthusiasm that people had, we are pursuing more role-playing game Dungeons and Dragons stuff in the future. And that's not part of this campaign. But Daryl Toe, the artist, of Unicorn Vampire Hunter, and I are working on a role-playing game pretty actively that I think will be very exciting, that people will be into. So the role-playing game went over really well. Whenever I go to conventions, people are always very excited about it, that it's D&D and they can play D&D with the Unicorn Vampire Hunter characters. And so, yeah, that went really well. And I hope that we can do more stuff like that in the future.
Okay, because I can do it as a separate Kickstarter next time, or is that going to be part of the future?
Well, what I'll say is the thing that we're working on right now is actually not a Unicorn Vampire Hunter RPG. It's a new IP. And so we may do a Unicorn Vampire Hunter RPG at some point in the future. But what we realized is that we don't want to spoil stuff that's coming out in the story through the RPG. And so I think that if we were to do a more fully fledged Unicorn Vampire Hunter RPG, we would wait until the story is kind of complete. And that way, you know, people can have like a source book of content that would be material that they wouldn't like, that's not spoiling what's going to happen in the story, but gives more information about the world. But the thing we're working on now is going to have be a totally separate Kickstarter. It's going to be a new IP, a new property that is a role-playing game, same creative team. But I'm bringing on some more people that are experts in role-playing games to play test. And we're actually going through, we've already started what's going to be a year-long process of playtesting this game before we bring it to Kickstarter. So that's like that's a very early look at something that was inspired by what we did with The Wolf, the Unicorn Vampire Hunter RPG. We just had so much fun with it, we wanted to do more stuff like that.
Okay, cool. So it's not going to be Unicorn Vampire Hunter meets Vampire Detective.
No, that's a totally different thing that may or may not happen. We'll see.
Cause we've talked about that before. I am a big crossover fan. Since you've got two vampires involved, you've got a vampire business involved in two of these. Of course, you know, Vampire Detective in Space is a science fiction thing and Unicorn Vampire Hunter is more of a fantasy. How you would cross those over is something that I'd be intrigued, shall I say, to see how you would do that.
We certainly have a plan for a crossover. We have everything with artist schedules and everything like that. We're trying to figure out how we can make it work. We do have a plan for a crossover. I'm not sure when it's going to happen, but there's definitely interest in that, and people have expressed interest in that. The thing that I wanted, yeah, for sure, and that's awesome. The thing that we wanted to do is we wanted to make sure we serviced the main stories first, right? Wanted to like the Unicorn Vampire Hunter and Vampire Detective in Space had their stories told, and then we could do a crossover. And what that looks like or when it's going to come out, I'm not sure yet, but that's definitely something we've done a lot of thinking and planning about.
Well, it's got to be encouraging to think that people are actually suggesting that they want to see your properties kind of interact. I think that's kind of a fun thing to see.
For sure.
Speaking of which, we'll get back to this, but while we're touching on Vampire Detective in Space, where's that at right now? How's that coming?
Well, the issue 4 is about to be sent to the printers. We did a Kickstarter for that a little while ago. And that was the final issue of that story. And so we will be doing, once people have those issues in backers' hands, you know, and they've all gotten their rewards, then we'll be doing a collected edition of that comic book. And then I think the Vampire Detective in Space is going to be, taking a break for a little while, just because what we found was that there wasn't as much interest in that series. While I love it dearly, and I'm glad we got to finish the story we set out to tell, there wasn't as much interest as there has been in, Unicorn Vampire Hunter and some other projects that we've done. So now that we've finished that story, the first whole story arc of that, we are not putting it, we're not retiring it necessarily, but we're maybe going to explore some other things for a little while.
Okay, because me being a science fiction guy, I'm particularly interested in Vampire Detective in space. I like the Unicorn Vampire Hunter, but it's the Vampire Detective that really grabs me.
Well, what I'll say is, if there's anybody listening who feels the same way, who really likes Vampire Detective in space, send me a message and let me know. because if there's enough interest in that to be continued with a volume two, certainly something we're open to. We just found that it wasn't reaching the same audience that we were kind of necessarily hoping for, or that we had seen some of the other properties reach. Which doesn't mean it wasn't good. It just means maybe it was a little bit more of a niche audience.
Okay. Because science fiction people, we may be a smaller group, but we're more devoted. I can't say that, because there are fantasy people I know who are much devoted to fantasy and stuff like that. So it's not me. I, as much as I enjoy some fantasy stories, I'm a science fiction guy. I want to see all kinds of science fiction stuff. But anyway, enough of that. But so you do have other stories in mind, though, for Vampire Detective in Space.
Oh, yeah, no, for sure. I mean, I think for me, I mean, ideas are like, you know, it's like a fountain. I'm always coming up with different ideas. I have several different story arcs that I have in mind for Vampire Detective in Space, if that were to be something that that we would pursue again. So that definitely might be something that's in the cards in the future. I will say that Dave Swartz, who draws Vampire Detective in Space, and I are working on a new project a new graphic novel that we're going to do in the meantime, that I think people are going to be really excited about. And it's very different than Vampire Detective in Space. So I'm excited about that. It's always scary to introduce new things. But I think that when I find, you know, a really talented and engaged creative partner, like an artist partner, you know, I really want to stick it out with them and you know, kind of see where the road goes. Because you know, it's really an honor to have someone talented like that want to continue to tell stories with you. And so, you know, the next thing that Dave and I are doing is something that was actually an idea that he came up with. And so he came to me with this idea, and then he asked me to develop it. And so I've been working on this new idea with him, and cool. I think it's going to be really cool.
Cool, because I would love to see the unicorn chasing after the vampire detective. That whole thing really, I mean, you could move them from the fantasy into the science fiction back and forth and do kind of this crazy stuff. I would love to see that. That'd be kind of fun to see. Anyway, let's get back to issue four, because the thing about issue four, as I mentioned, it was a tragic story. I'm always interested in father-son stories.
Because
it's always an interesting, there's a competition between two males. I mean, it's part of our nature, especially a father is going to compete with the son. And some of that spills into this issue number four, which I really liked. And I can't spoil it. It ends interestingly. It's a very, very interesting ending to me, that issue. And the way that the last panel is of that whole issue just got to me. I really love the way that ended. It was, we talked about it being tragic, but see, this is a great, this is like a parable on some levels as far as father-son relationships go on.
Yeah, for sure. I think to me, good stories, or the stories that I write, are all about relationships, and father-son relationships are a huge thing. You know, I think I don't think there's any man out there or woman for that matter who can say that their relationship with their father is just like without any complications. You know, it's definitely something that I wanted to explore, and there's like some heavy emotions that get brought up in this issue. And then the way that the issue ends is definitely very like, heavy. And it, people who have been reading this series might kind of know that I like to end on sort of heavy notes where, it's not necessarily a cliffhanger, but it's like an emotional heavy beat.
It's a punch to the stomach.
Right. Right.
Mm-hmm. It, that's the way it ends. And it is on many levels, it wraps up a whole storyline.
Oh yeah, for sure. Cause within each, I have, you know, two more volumes planned, but of course, you know, some storylines get wrapped up in this first volume and some don't. And you know, there's certain things that I wanted to wrap up and certain character beats that I wanted to put a close to, and others that I left open. And the one in chapter four is something that I wanted to sort of tie off this particular storyline, this particular idea. The idea, the original idea for the issue actually came from Daryl Toe, who's the artist. You know, he had this little idea. It was like, well, what if Edward went home and he saw his father again? And I was like, oh man, that just opened up a whole new world of possibilities. and I developed it from there. And I'm exceptionally proud of issue four. I think it's very emotionally resonant. And I like issue five a lot too, but issue five has to do a lot of work of wrapping up the story arc. I mean, you know, the final act of any story has a heavy burden of trying to finish everything out. Whereas chapter four really has time to really focus on this one relationship between Edward and his father.
Yeah, I really like the parallels between the father and the son too. I don't want to spoil anything, but let's just say there's similarities between the two characters I found really interesting, because a lot of the times fathers don't want their sons to make the same mistakes that they did, but sometimes they're destined anyway to do that. And it's really an interesting parallel part and resolves. I have to agree. The artist did a beautiful job on that last panel. When you get that last panel, it's going to just, you know, I really felt bad when I got that last panel. Very tragic. Don't like that. So that's issue four. And then we get to issue five, and all kinds of good things happen to resolve storylines and things like that. So there's all kinds of good things in the, you know, people always worry when they sell individual issues that the collected editions won't sell as well, because you get the whole story. But let's say you bought all the individual issues. Are there extra things that are going to be in the collected edition that weren't in the individual issues?
So kind of. We have a little bonus story, a 6-page bonus story, which was actually illustrated by Dave Swartz, who draws Vampire Detective in Space, which provides a little more insight into one of the characters that's going to be included in the book. And then we also have a gallery of all of the covers and pinups that were done for the series to this point. And so that little story is going to be something that wouldn't have been in the issues. Anyone who prefers single issues, I will tell you that you have the full story. And if you want to read that 6-page bonus story, I would be happy to send it to you in digital format, so that you get that little bit of extra story. But yeah, I mean, I think the main appeal is that it is a collected edition, which is, I think, a more convenient format for a lot of people to read it, and it's easier to display. But I completely understand for people who prefer single issues and that's just how they like to read their comics. My feelings will not be hurt if you don't come back and pledge to this one. But certainly, I think it's going to be a really gorgeous presentation, and we got a little few extra bonuses in there.
Cool. Cool. Once again, it's Unicorn Vampire Hunter Volume 1. And it's going to be only be funded if it reaches the school by Friday, July 14 at 1 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time. So that sounds good. Now, are there other projects you're working on that we should be aware of?
Yeah. So I was involved in another book that's on Kickstarter right now called Space Monkey Knights Go, which is a book that was created by Dave Lentz, who's the letterer on pretty much every comic book that I do. And he asked me to come on board and help him develop it and write the script. And so I have done that. It's sort of an 80s and 90s Saturday morning cartoon style book about four monkeys who are sent into space. And they're in cryosleep. And they're supposed to be getting all of Earth's collected knowledge downloaded into their brains, but they accidentally only get the knowledge about King Arthur's knights downloaded into their brains. So they come out of cryosleep believing themselves to be knights of the round table.
Do you know any, what's that called again?
Space Monkey Knights Go is the title of the comic.
Do you know when that's going to wrap up, when the Kickstarter ends?
That one also it launched on the same day so that we could cross promote, and that one will wrap up, it looks like, July 13th.
So that's first. That will only come to a conclusion first. Okay. All right. Well, it's something to – so if you've got money and you're anxious to support both of these things, I would say get out and support them both because it'll be good fun. Other things besides that, or is that keeping you busy?
Oh, I mean, if you're talking about things that are coming up, I got a lot of things. A Vampire Detective in Space Collected Edition is going to be coming up. My new project with Dave Swartz is going to be coming up at some point. I also have a couple of unannounced projects that I'm doing with some new partners that I can't talk about yet. Okay. That are going to be coming up that I'm really excited about. And then, of course, we're starting production on Unicorn Vampire Hunter issue 6. And I'm not sure when that will go to Kickstarter. It might be a little while, but we are in the process. So if anyone's worried that that we're not going to continue the story, I can assure you that we are, and we're working on it.
Okay, cool. Now, if we want to follow you on social media, how do we do that?
So on Instagram and Twitter, I'm at Caleb Palmquist, like Caleb.Palmquist, or I think. A Twitter, there might not be a dot. I don't use Twitter a lot, though, so I couldn't necessarily tell you. I use Instagram, but the absolute best way to keep track of me is to go to unicornvampirehunter.com, and there's a link to join my newsletter, which is 100% the best way to get information about what's going on with my comics.
Okay. What about conventions? You mentioned conventions. Are you going to any more conventions this year, or is that, how's that going?
Well, I went to Lilac City Comic Con, which is in Spokane, Washington. That's my hometown, just recently, just last weekend as we're recording this. And, I might be going to Rose City Comic Con, which is in Portland, Oregon this year, not to be confused with Portland, Maine. I may or may not be going to that. I think, that I'm kind of in a lull period for Comic Cons. A few years ago, I was going to a lot. That's where you and I first met, was at Tampa Bay Comic Con, I believe.
Right.
I was going to a lot of cons, and lately, last few years, I mean, obviously COVID, we couldn't go to cons, but since COVID, I haven't really gone back to going to a lot of cons, and I might start to get back more into it. But it's, I'm not sure if I will or not. It's kind of a big commitment to go to a con. And I love doing it. I love meeting people, talking to people, especially talking to not only fans, but also other creators. It's like, it's a great time. But you know, it can definitely be very exhausting. And so, you know, I'm trying not to do too much, which is a funny thing to say, because I think, one of the things I'm most known for is doing too much. But I'm trying not to overstress myself.
Okay. Now, one last thing is, if I read my Facebook correctly, there's congratulations in order. Didn't you get married recently?
I did. Thank you very much. As we are recording this, about 2.5 or maybe 3.5 weeks ago, I did get married. And that was awesome. It was a fantastic wedding. So thank you very much.
All right. Well, that's good. Reality gets in the way of comics sometimes, and marriage sometimes slows things down a little bit. So you got to be really sure about that. But I'm really encouraged about how Unicorn Vampire Hunter is coming to an end. And I can't wait to see. I think this collective volume is going to be a great addition to anybody's bookshelf. And once again, Unicorn Vampire Hunter Volume 1. This project will be funded if it reaches its goal by Friday, July 14, 1 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time. Don't wait until that time. Be sure to get out there and support it right now. And Caleb, keep up the wonderful stuff, and hopefully I get to talk with you again sometime in the future.
Sounds good. Thanks so much, Wayne.
People need dramatic examples to shake them out of apathy, and I can't do that as Bruce Wayne. As a man, from flesh and blood, I can be ignored, I can be destroyed, but as a symbol.
Get the latest from the comics universe. News, interviews, previews, and reviews. Listen to the weekly Wayne's Comics Podcast so you can keep reading your comics.
And that's it for this week. Be back next time when we'll have another great interview with another terrific comics creator. But until then, keep reading your comics.